This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you guys. It is good to be here. It's good to be here with God's people, the body of Christ here at Bridges Church. And it's just good to be alive, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's just good to be alive today and enjoy God's presence and remind ourselves that Jesus is Lord of all. Sometimes we forget that, you know, with everything going on and all the craziness in the world, but he is Lord and he's in control and we're okay because of it. So I'm glad that you're here today. If you have your Bibles, open them to Genesis chapter 2. We're looking at one verse today. If you haven't gotten the outline yet, we want you to get that. You can scan the QR code behind me. You can also get it on your app, which is an easier way to follow through. There's some great verses there you might want to look up a little bit later and kind of dig into them. One of the things we want to do on Sunday morning is introduce ideas and think about it, but you need time to reflect on them and really get what God is saying to you through his word. Because that's the most important thing that we do is look at God's word and says, what does it say about us? What does it say about the world? What does it say about life? What does it say about where we came from and who we are? And this is week 2 in our series that we're calling Origin Stories. And I want to start today with a picture of something. This is something I want you to notice. This was just taken, not of you, but of some other human being. This is a human cell. It is blown up. They used a nuclear magnetic resonance and a I never heard of this, cryon electron microscope. It's a new one, even more, I guess, defined than the electron microscope and using x-rays. But as a human cell. And it's kind of an interesting thing that right now in your body, you have somewhere between 30 trillion and 100 trillion cells. That's a lot of cells. And each one of those has a different lifespan. Some of the cells in your body will last just a few hours, maybe a couple of days. The eye in the lens of your eye has cells that will last your whole life. They don't reproduce as much. They just exist the whole time. Your brain cells, they have found, will last on after you die, which is kind of an interesting idea. They think that the time period a brain cell will live is about 200 years, which is just very interesting if you think about that, the lifespan of that. And all the cells in our body are little machines. Machines produce, and they do work, right? And they do work without someone telling them to do it. They just do all kinds of stuff. They're doing it even now. If you've eaten or if you've had coffee, your body is processing that, right, all as we speak. And it's making things work, and cells produce things. They transmit things like chemicals are working right now to produce thoughts in your brain, to move your body, to cause you to breathe. It's all happening without you knowing it. They reproduce themselves, a big part of what they do. And they're just working right now, 100 trillion cells or so in your body. And the thing is, something we all share in common, because we're talking about origin stories, is we all started out as one cell. And you grew, didn't you? You grew a lot since then. I want to know what that kind of meant. So I looked at Khan Academy. If you ever look at Khan Academy, it was started to really help students get on and learn things beyond their schoolwork. You can watch videos, things like that. And this is what Khan Academy says about us as human beings. We all began existence as the simplest thing you can imagine if you're trying to picture life. A single cell, nothing. In other words, but a tiny spherical bag of proteins. In fact, the average one-cell amoeba looks far perkier under a microscope than a fertilized human egg. Yet that humble and nondescript appearance is highly deceptive. The egg, after all, boasts dazzling prospects, a future that is truly dizzying, and until recently, utterly baffling in its complexity. When an amoeba divides, all you get is more amoebas. But when a human egg splits, first 2, then 4, then 8, then 16, then 32, 64, and so on until you're here today, right? It embarks on a venture that will, over the next 9 months, produce descendant cells with a huge variety of shapes and functions, bone cells, nerve cells, red and white blood cells, the cells of the eyes, fingernails, stomach, and skin. Consider, for example, your body's crowning glory, your head. How did the bone cells in your skull know enough to marshal themselves into a dome? And when those in your jaw formed into a trap-shaped mandible, think about how you're shaped. And how did those on your left side arrange themselves in a mirror image of those on your right? And how were their holes left in your skull at just the right places for your eyes? Come to think of it, how did your head wind up at the top of your body? Think about that just a minute. If it was at the bottom, you'd walk on your head. That would be strange, wouldn't it? But how did it end up at the top of your body? nodding sagely at the end of your neck and spine. And that's only the beginning. How did that blob-like egg give rise to, say, nerve cells in your fingertips with long filaments to cable signals back toward the spine? And what informed them to relay their signals to intermediary nerve cells that can, by zapping them with chemicals? And what told these cells filaments to twine themselves together to form a spinal cord inside the bones of your spine and then levitate toward your skull and send messages into the folds of your brain for interpretation so that you're able to listen to what I just read and actually make some sort of sense out about it? How does that all work? And that's what Khan Academy wanted to know. And where did you come from? And where did I come from? And how did we get here? These are the questions we want to answer in this series that we're calling Origin Stories. And last week we looked at chapter 1 in Genesis. We talked about who is God. And this week we want to talk about chapter 2 and who are you? And what's our origin story? And how did we end up here? So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We're going to camp out on this verse a little bit. You need to know this. And just give you the context, right? Chapter 1 of Genesis, 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's how we got here. He created everything. And then step by step, process by stop, process day by day, he created everything else, right? And he created the environments, and he put the life that's going to live in the environments. And on day 6, God did his crowning glory, which is to create mankind. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Just the first part, hang on to it. We're going to come back to it. This is how it starts. Day 6. Then the Lord formed the man out of dust from the ground. That's how it started. Everything else God created, he spoke into existence, right? Ex nihilo. We talked about it. Out of nothing, God created. But for man, he did something else. He got together some dirt right out of the ground, the very elements of what he'd already created. And instead of speaking existence, he took what was already there and he formed it together. And he formed it in such a way that it produced a human being. And that's how God worked. And the interesting thing about that is the word formed, okay? Kind of look at that word formed. It is a pottery term. Have you ever been around a potter? They take the clay and they shape it, right? They make it into something new. And God is a master potter. And he made out of the ground the first man. And this is what it says in Isaiah 64, verse 8, kind of along those same lines. He says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. So that person sitting near you or behind you or around you is just a pile of dirt, right? A pile of clay that God has turned into something miraculous. Isn't that amazing? And the thing about God is when he formed you into muscles. He formed that first man into muscles and skin and bone and put it all together. But he did something incredible. With the first man, he made him out of the dust. Everything else after that, he's made out of DNA that he put into that man, right? The first man had no DNA until God put it in there. And after that, God was saying, I'm not going to create human beings like this anymore. I'm bringing man and woman together. And then the DNA I put into them will become every other human being on the face of the planet. There's so much going on with DNA. You know about DNA, right? That you have DNA inside of you, which is really incredible. It tells everything about you. Your DNA tells us why your hair is the way it is, what color it is, what shape it is, how little or how much that you have, the skin color that you have, your eye color, the fact that you're as tall as you are or as short as you are is all part of the DNA and what you ate as a little kid, right? But all is that shaped by DNA, and it all came together, and it all has that inside of it. You have little rocks in your ears, and you guys, some of you guys know this because they have to shake them around because those little rocks in your ears are not exactly right. You get vertigo. Anybody ever had that before? And you have to shake those ears. And they're in there right now, and you're able to sit up straight and tall because you have these little rocks in your ears that is part of your DNA. And it keeps you from slumping over, right? And you know which way to go because God has put it there as part of your DNA. Now, here's something you may not know. DNA inside of you is all twisted up. It's made out of 4 nucleotides, okay? And these little building blocks that God puts together in a certain way. And if you have inside one of your cell, if you were to straighten out your DNA, just one strand, it would be 6 feet long. Just one strand. If they took all the DNA in your body at this moment, and we could straighten it all out, it would wrap around the solar system twice. That's just inside your body. God formed it into Adam and made him and then made it so that we would be possible. Now, you know what DNA is. It's simply information storage. We're going to get a little technical, all right? So the DNA that God put into Adam, here it is in one strand. There are 215 million gigabytes. My computer has 8 gigabytes of storage. You have 215 million gigabytes in one cell. In your body, you are 150 zettabytes of information. That's pretty incredible. That is 150 trillion gigabytes. Best Buy should sell you off the counter, right? You have so much storage going on in your body, and it's just all right there, and God made it that way. And you know about the cloud, right? You guys know what the cloud is. So people think the cloud is up there where you store information. It's not up there. They're in servers around the world. You guys know that, right? You can access it through the internet, but all the information that's on the internet is stored in servers. Like Google has servers all over the world. Apple has servers all over the world. They eat up a lot of energy. They're really, really hot to run, and they're not always stable, okay? That's where all the energy of all the stuff you put on the internet, all your information is sitting in a room somewhere, all right? And the thing about it, it takes all these computers to do that. If they could take DNA, and they can make information out of it, you can store more than a supercomputer. I don't know if you knew this, they've taken synthetic DNA and they're now making it into data storage. There's actually a 55,000 word book that they put into synthetic DNA, and it's just sitting there on this little strand of DNA so they can reproduce it. If they could take a shoebox size of human DNA or synthetic DNA, it could run every server in the world. Just a shoebox. And what they found is that DNA is the best storage thing that's ever been invented. And humans didn't invent it, God did. And that was in that very first man, that very first human being. And it's crazy. Not only that, but in that very first man inside that DNA was the operating system. You guys know what the operating system of your computer is. I mean, you push a little button to turn it on. It makes that cool noise. Some of them sing to you. Some of them make this cool noise. And it's just starting up. And suddenly you can go on the computer. You can pull up your pictures. You can watch videos. You can play games, which some of you guys do a lot, right? You can do all these things because the operating system makes that work. And then you have an operating system in your DNA that allows you to walk and to talk and to learn and to recall. I was talking to Jacob and the other day and talking a little bit about Jonah. Jonah's like the littlest one we have here. And he's like a supercomputer. Do you guys know that? He's like a little supercomputer because when you talk to him, he listens and he takes it in. And he's remembering. He's forming words. He's talking now. He's walking now. And he's this little guy and he's just soaking up information. He like stares at you. You guys know this little Jonah? He just watches you and he's just learning. Like, I want to be one of you. And God has put it in his DNA to make him one of us. I sat down with his grandfather, Rodney, the other day. We had lunch together. And we went to Yamas downtown Mediterranean. I always like to plug a restaurant. You need to go because your body craves it, right? Your body craves food because of the DNA inside says eat something good, right? So I'm sitting there talking to Rodney, and I don't even know what I said. I said something to him, and he turned his head a certain way, and he put his mouth a certain way, and I laughed because I saw Jacob. It was so strange, his son Jacob. And it was like, I just laughed, not at him, but at the wonder of that. To hear someone sitting across from me because of his DNA and the DNA that's in his son, they have the same facial expressions. I'm going to be watching Jonah really closely to see if he does the same thing, right? That's in your DNA. And God formed it. And when God formed Adam, he's lying on the ground and he's just dust. He's just the elements of the world, right? He's got all this DNA in him, but one thing he doesn't have is life. He doesn't have life. He's just laying there on the ground. And then back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the second part says this. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being, and that's a miracle. Because we've never ever seen this again where something dead comes alive. Something inanimate becomes animate. Like if right now that chair was to come alive underneath you, it would freak you out, right? If it started walking out like, I'm done listening to this guy, I'm tired of this, I'm just going to take you out, all right? That would be weird, wouldn't it? If you went home today and your blender came alive, it would freak you out. If the dust of your ground began to speak to you, you wouldn't know what to do. And here on the ground was Adam, and God breathed life into him for the first time ever. Something that was not alive became alive. That's a miracle. And here's the thing in Hebrew, just so you know, in Hebrew, the word for breath is the same word as spirit. God put breath into him to give the body a chance to live, but he also put his spirit into man. And that's something else entirely, because you had a physical body, but now you have a spiritual body going into him. And in the spirit, like we're all spirit, right? It's your inner life. It's who you are on the inside. It causes you to think. It causes you to feel. It causes you to have a will to make decisions, and it causes you to have desires. And that's all inside of you because God breathed his spirit into this first man and gave him life. And he does the same thing to you. And in that spirit, you're able to wonder and ask the big questions. You're able to think about what you like and what you don't like, right? What kind of food, what kind of movies, what kind of life experiences you enjoy. That's all part of your spirit, and God breathed that in him. For a moment, I want you to think about this Adam who's laying on the ground and suddenly gets clicked on, and suddenly he can see and hear and taste and feel and think before he could not. What was that like? Can you imagine what that was like that day where everything just came alive in him and he becomes aware of who he is, because that's part of your spirit, self-awareness. And then he became aware of God. Because that's the thing about our spirit, right? Why do we have a spirit? It's so we can know God. Because God wanted to relate to us. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, if we go back a chapter, this is the creation story of day 6 in a little different way. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created him. And there's such an interesting wording there. Let us make man in our image. Did you ever notice the pronouns are now plural? Why is it plural when God is monotheistic? When he's one God, it's because there's the Trinity. At the very beginning of creation, the Trinity there, God the Father creating, he's speaking and he's giving words, which we know is Jesus the Son, right? He spoke everything into existence and the Spirit is hovering on the waters. And the Trinity is God in three. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together in perfect unity of one mind, one spirit, and one love. And they related to each other and they continue to relate to each other perfectly. And he said, I want to create a man that I can relate to. And if I'm going to create a human being that I can relate to, he has to have a spirit. He cannot be just a body, because if you just have a body, you cannot relate to God, because God is spirit. Jesus in John chapter 4, verse 24 said this, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. That's why when you come in today to worship, I hope that you came in with your spirit and your body, right? Which you don't really have a choice of, but you come in ready to connect with this God of the universe, because we are spirit, and he created us to be spirit. And we are physical, and we are spiritual, and God relates to us in that way. If you ask me what the big idea for today is, the big idea is simply this. It's there on your outline. That we are created beings made in the image of God with the ability to live and relate to him. And I need that to sink in, because you and I just do life every single day and we don't let that sink in. That we are created beings. We're not random chance. We didn't just show up. We're not here by accident. It's not like we just go through life, because here's the deal. If we just go through life because we're random chance and there's no meaning and there's no purpose and there's no hope, this is all there is. And if you came today going, I'm not sure about this, then that's a tough place to be. And the scriptures are very, very clear that we are created beings. We are given a purpose by this God. We are given life by this God to relate to him and to know him. And that we're made in his image to have relationships with him and relationships with one another. And we have the ability to live and relate to him. People that don't get this go through life going, what's the purpose? What's the point? Why does it matter? Why does any of it matter? If when we die, we just turn off the light and go back to dust, then what's the point? And there's a lot of people that you and I walk into every day of their life, and that's what they believe. And there's no hope there, right? We're random chance. Life is random. It just has no purpose. How do you get up in the morning when that's your belief? I don't know. I don't know how they make it through the day. I have Jesus in my life, which makes all the difference, because my spirit knows him, right? And you that know Jesus know that. We get up every day because we go, Jesus is in my life, and I was created for a purpose, and he is working in my life, and I can live, and I can relate to him, and that's so key. So why does it matter? Why is it important? Well, there's two things I want to hit today. Two things I want to talk about. Why does that matter? Well, number one, it gives us perspective for life, right? It gives us perspective. And here's the deal. You're a miracle. You are a walking, talking miracle. Absolutely. Because a miracle is simply whatever God does. And everyone that you see is a miracle. Now, here in science, what's happened is they look at something that's created like us and go, we're similar. We're similar to this creature, to that creature. And it's true. DNA, we're very similar, but that's because they were created too. It's the wrong comparison to compare you to something that's created. What they should be creating or comparing us to is nothing. Because nothing should exist. The probability of anything existing is so low. But when you compare yourself to nothing, you're going, you're an absolute miracle. And you're complex with all the things that you have going on in you. Here's what I want you to do. I turn to the person next to you. I want you to simply say, you're a very complex person. Can you do that? You're very complex. If you want to translate into you're a miracle, you can say that too. Don't say complicated. That's different, okay? Complex is something else, but you are complex. Even right now, your brain's processing that, and you guys are smiling, and your eyes are lighting up because we can't see all your faces with some of the masks, and all we see is your eyes. But even that is smiling, and you don't even think about it, right? It just happened because your DNA told you to, and you are very complex. And today and tomorrow, you should walk around a little taller, and you should say this, I'm a walking miracle, and I was created to do whatever God created me to do, and I can do it through him. Who gives me strength. You're going to walk into things. I'm going to walk into things. You're going to doubt yourself. You're going to feel insecure about who you are. You're going to wonder why you're here. Here's one of the biggest things we do as human beings. We compare ourselves. I have two words for you. Stop it. Stop it. Do not compare yourself to other people because you go, I'm either better than them and you'll find pride waiting for you, or I'm worse than them and you'll feel defeated and insecure and insignificant. God says in his word, don't compare yourself. Simply look at yourself as a miracle from God. You should not exist. You should not be able to function. You should not have all the information your body contains in it, but you do because he is. I hope that makes sense. So it should change your perspective. It's one of the things we want to do here is send you out every day going, I'm a little bit different because I see the world a little bit different because the word of God tells me something different than the culture I live in, which tells you you're an accident. And God says, you're not an accident. You're one of my created beings, and I love you. And that's huge. So why does it matter? It gives us perspective for life. Number two, why does it matter? We can trust God to bring life into any situation we face. Walk away with that today. Adam's on the ground. He's got no life at all, and God breathed his spirit in him, and suddenly he came alive. And God's saying, I can do that to anybody, at any time, any place, anywhere. Because here's the deal, life is hard, right? Life is hard. What you go through is hard. What you face is hard. The difficulties you deal with is hard. And there's going to be times where you don't feel real alive inside, right? We all get there. You feel overwhelmed, you feel defeated, especially now. Mental health issues are huge today. And people are feeling absolutely overwhelmed, and the inside of their spirit is dying. It's on like last beating for some people. And God says, I can bring life there. Job, I mentioned last week, you should know this, is the first book written. Genesis is the first book. Job was the first book written. And it's so interesting that God started off the Bible with the first book written of Job, where a guy has the worst day ever, where he loses everything. He gets a disease. I mean, you name the bad things that could happen to you. You lose your family, you lose your job, all your income, your savings are gone. Like, this is worst case scenario for most people, right? Your savings is gone, your retirement's gone, your house is gone, your family is gone. Your wife is still there, and she says, why don't you just die? I mean, I just think about Job, like, how did he make it through that? Like, just curse God, get it over with, and be dead. He's got nothing going for him, right? And his friend Elihu comes up and says this, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. He's saying inside you can live with all the junk that you're facing. He can bring that inside alive. Because if your inside is alive, you can deal with anything, right? Any problem is surmountable if you know God's on your side and your inside's alive with hope, right? We're going to get through this. But when you lose that hope, and you lose that life inside of you, you're going, I cannot go another day. I am overwhelmed. It's bad. It's getting worse. It's never going to get better. You've been there probably. Most people have been there. And they turn to other things, right? People turn to all kinds of things to get through. This is self-medication of all kinds. All kinds of thoughts to get through the day. And God's saying, I can bring life to your situation inside of you. Internal life. Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 10, I came that may have life and have it abundantly. He had no intention of telling you that you're going to be rich or everything's going to work out. That's not the point. He said, you're going to go through things. In this world, you will have trouble. He told them that. But I'm going to be with you, and you're going to get through it because I'm going to give you life on the inside. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "And the Spirit who gives life," I love this, "the flesh is no help at all." You're going to get tired, right? When your body's tired, don't you just kind of like get tired of everything else? It's your flesh sometimes is going to give out on you. You're going to feel old. You're going to feel weak. You're going to be worn out. But on the inside, I'm going to give you strength. You know, as you go through life and you think about what you deal with, and some of life is just absolutely gorgeous and beautiful, and your spirit enjoys that, right? Your spirit just loves that when life is beautiful. The trick is to learn how to see everything as beautiful all the time as your spirit is lifted by the Holy Spirit who lives within you if Christ is in you. So I don't know where you are when you came in today. I don't know what you were dealing with. Some of your life is just going really well, and your spirit's enjoying that, and then you are a miracle, and you go, "Thank you, God, that I can enjoy life. I have life." Maybe that's where you are today, and just go, "God, you gave me, this is awful, awesome, not awful, awesome." But maybe you're going through an awful time, and you're going, "God, I just need you to give life to my spirit." Or you might know someone around you, they are struggling, and they keep trying, and they keep trying different stuff. They keep running into dead ends. Maybe today your prayer is, "God, they need your spirit. And the only way to get your spirit in them is they need to know Jesus. Because when Jesus comes in, the spirit comes in and they live." And maybe that's our prayer today. Or maybe you're that person that walked in and go, "My spirit's worn out. And God, just like Adam was on the ground and had no life, and you put your spirit in him, I need you to fill me with your spirit today." So I walk out of here a different person. Same problems, but different perspective and different life. So today, let's just give God what we're dealing with, okay? If your spirit needs some life, well, let's pray for that. If you have a friend or a family member that needs to know Jesus because they don't have that life, let's pray for them. Let's pray for those that are just filled with joy and filled with life, that it just continues all their days in eternity. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for how creative you were when you created us. We are walking miracles. Given life, we're able to breathe. Our hearts are beating. Our minds are working. Our spirits are listening for you. You made us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just thank you for that, Father. I thank you for the opportunity to live. I thank you for making this world and putting us in it so we could enjoy it. And I pray for those that are here today that life is good, and they see it as life is good. And we are so grateful for that. Their inner life is lit up, and they're just enjoying life. And thank you for that, Father. May they just look at everything, give you thanks. May they walk around and just give life wherever they go. May they bring light to wherever they go. Just help them to light up rooms and light up lives and light up people. And we thank you for that. For those who came here today, Father, it's maybe not the truth for them at this moment. We just pray for your spirit to come in and give them life. Lift them up out of the dirt that they're living in, out of the clay that they've experienced, out of the miry clay that they're stuck in, Father. Lift their spirits up. If you choose to, just remove the barriers in their life. Sometimes you leave them there for us to find joy in the midst of them. In the midst of our biggest problems, we're told to find joy. May we find that joy and that life and that peace and that comfort. Give us life, Father. And I pray for our friends and family, anyone in the room today that doesn't know Jesus and doesn't have the Spirit, doesn't have life, we pray for those doors to be open. We pray for those eyes to see, those ears to hear, that they may have life, Father, not just here on this earth, but for all eternity through Jesus Christ. That's what you created us for, to relate to you for eternity. That's your purpose. May they find purpose in you, Father. Use us. Use us to tell them who you are. Use us to speak of your wonderful grace. Use us to teach about forgiveness and mercy. Use us to tell the stories of how you brought us to life, that they may change their life. Father, work in us. Keep reminding us of your faithfulness. It's hard to live in this world that's so fallen, but we don't go alone. We go with you, the God who created us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.